Right, the Gemara is discussing here at the bottom, we're going to start at the bottom of Yud Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara is discussing or trying to explain the Shita of Beit Shammai. Right, so we've had a couple of opinions as to what the Shita of Beit Shammai is. Right, the first Shita we read was Rabbi Zeira, who says that it has to do with the woman's Hakpada, with the Gave, how much money that she needs in order to be Mitkadeshit. Then we had Rabbi Yosef's suggestion that it has to do with the quantification of money based on whether it's a Torah or a rabbinic, right, decree about what type of money that we need here. And now we have another alternative that's offered by Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish. The bottom, you know, for the Beit Shammai, Shomer, the Mayu de Beit Shammai, Ki de Chizkiah. The reasoning behind Beit Shammai has to do with Chizkiah, the Amr Chizkiah, Amr Kroa, the Pasuk says, that teaches us by an Amar Ibriya, that means by a Jewish maidservant, that she has the ability to buy herself out. That means that if she's bought for a certain amount of price, a certain amount of money, or the Ebed Ivri is bought for a certain amount of price, they have the ability to deduct over the years of their work the amount of money for the entire work. The time it, for her would be until she reaches of age, or the Ebed Ivri until he reaches the sixth year, the seventh year, that he goes free. So you can figure out how much money is left in the value of his work, and they can buy themselves out. If the Adon bought the Amma Ivriya for a dinar, then there's a lower denomination of coinage that you could suggest gives you a possibility for buying yourself out. If you think she was bought for a pruta, right, which is the lowest denomination of coinage, then, I mean, pruta, right, my migara, what are you gonna do at that point in time? But what coinage can you break down? Pruta is the lowest denomination. There's nothing to break down anymore. So Mar says, this is what the Pasuk says. If he buys her for a dinar, you know, if he buys her for a coinage that has the ability to be divided and is divisible, then you go ahead and you can deduct and allow him or her to buy herself out. But in the case where he gives the lowest common coinage, then you won't have the ability to redeem himself. So where it says, you can't think like that. Why? It's similar to Yehud. So that we know by an Amma Yivriya, Jewish maidservant, has the, when a person buys this woman, this girl who's a katana, he has three options with her. One is to have her work for him as a maidservant. Number two is that he takes her as a wife. Number three is that he has his son take her as a wife. So one of the options is the yehud, the ability to marry her. My yehud, by the ability to marry her, apagav di by maid, vi lo by maid, right? And that, even if he wants to, he could be miyad. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. I mean, there's no obligation on the Adon to marry this girl. Nevertheless, he has the option to marry this girl. But if that option is removed from him, if he's unable to marry this girl, then it doesn't work as an Amma Yivriya. So for instance, if a relative is sold in as an Amma Yivriya, then it won't work. That sale won't work because the Adon can never marry such a woman. So it won't work. Because if you don't, you can't say, you mean that you can't say just because there isn't a possibility of deduction that it works. No, it must be that in any instance where you buy an Amma Yivriya, you must have the possibility to marry her. And number two is you must have the possibility that she can reduce the value and buy herself out. So that would mean that the minimum requirement must be then a dinar, which is the lowest coinage that will allow you to have divisibility. Where it says, V'kidusha isha le-Beit Shammai, nafkulahu mi-Amma Yivriya. And then Beit Shammai will learn out kidushin from Amma Yivriya. That an Amma Yivriya cannot be acquired for a pruta. So to a woman cannot be married through a pruta. So Mar says, wait a minute. All right. Now you're talking about coinage. So when you went from a pruta to a dinar, isn't there something between a pruta and a dinar? What's the name of Pala the dinar? Let him get married for half a dinar. Half a dinar is still divisible into prutot. I mean, it has the ability to be divided up. And the same thing, what? The possibility of mishtei prutot. She's bought for two prutot. Two prutot are still also divisible. I mean, that just because you pick a pruta, or you pick a number less than, how'd you get from pruta to dinar? That's a big jump. I mean, there's something between pruta and dinar allows you to have a money that is divisible.
Yeah. David?
We're going to get to that. Today's daf, we'll get to exactly how much it is. So Gemara says, no. Once Beit Shammai says, left the coinage of Pruta, ukmeya dinar. Then it went to dinar. I mean, the next coin that they felt was a commonly used coin, or a minimum coin, was a dinar. So that they didn't skip, they didn't go from Pruta to half dinar, Pruta to two Pruta. They went to the next whole coin, which was the commonly used currency, which was a dinar. So if Pruta is not sufficient, then the next coin up is dinar, and that's what they said is the minimum. So Rav Amar no time of the Amar Amar time of the Beit Shammai. So here's our fourth possibility of what the reasoning behind Beit Shammai is. Shloi Benot Yisrael kehefker. That Benot Yisrael should not be like hefker. What does that mean? Rashi says, but no, but Dovar Muat. So it should be acquired for a Pruta. Pruta is nothing. Right? Like for a penny, right? Or a gura. That's just not something of value. So we want people to be machshiv the Kiddushin. The machshiv the Kiddushin, we have to use a coin that is of greater value. Therefore, the Rabbonon instituted that the minimum amount to be a dinar. Not that that's the necessary midoraisa. Midoraisa Pruta would work. But in order to elevate the status of Kiddushin, we say that no, use a dinar instead of a Pruta. Beit Hillel mean Pruta. Beit Hillel says that the minimum requirement or the requirement for Kiddushin is a Pruta. Sever of Yosef Lemar Pruta Koldo. The Pruta is not an objective standard of coin, meaning an objective standard of value, but rather than every generation, whatever the Pruta is worth, that should be the amount that you make Kaddish with. And that's Machlokis in the Mefarshim, whether Pruta means, when he says Pruta Koldo, does he mean that you have to sell the coin called the Pruta? And even though that Pruta value is different than what was before, it works. Or does Pruta Koldo mean just whatever is the lowest common coin in that time, in the aguro or the penny, right, or the shilling, whatever it is that is the lowest common denominator of coin today, that would be sufficient. That does has nothing to do with Pruta, just the lowest coinage. So I'm really by if I lock Tony, Kamahi Pruta. But don't we have a definition of what Pruta is, right? Echad mishmona bisara talki. That it's 1/8 of an Isar, Italian Isar. If you say what? Why did the Mishnah define what the value of a Pruta is? So they're telling you what the value was in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. But today, whatever the value is fine. We have Ravdimi. Ravdimi, when he came from, right, Eretz back from Eretz Yisrael to Babel, he said, Shimai assessed in his generation how much is the Pruta, Kami Pruta, Echad, right, Mishmon Bisari Talki. It's 1/8 of a Italian Isar. So you see that even in the current time, they were still trying to assess, that's the assessment of the value of a Pruta today to match it to the Pruta of Moshe. V'chiyat Rabin Amar B'stai V'Rabi Yanai. Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. He says that Rabbi Dustai and Rabbi Yanai, Rabbi Yosha, Shiaru, they measured how much the Pruta is. Coming up Pruta, Echa Mishishar B'Yisar Talki. It was 1/6 of an Italian Isar. So again, if according to you, Rabbi Yosef, the minimum value is a Pruta, it doesn't matter what its current value is. Whatever its current value is, right, irrelevant because it's a Pruta. Then why are they measuring what the value of a Pruta is? They're giving you what the value of the Pruta is. That suggests that there's a, it's necessary or a necessity to have a value to a Pruta so you can match up to the Pruta of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rav Yosef who says that any Pruta, no matter what the value of that Pruta is sufficient to marry with, then why are they in marriage instances, that's the cases here, in marriage instances, why are they trying to figure out how much their Pruta that was used was worth? Should be irrelevant how much it's worth. If it's a Pruta, it's called a Pruta, that should work. That should be sufficient. Right? So that's what Rabbi is challenging Rabbi Yosef's position. How could you suggest that it's irrelevant? The value of a Pruta is irrelevant. And here we see these Amoraim in context of Kiddushin are asking, what's the value of such a coin? So, because why should they be investigating? Why do they care what the value of the coin is? It should be irrelevant. All right. So Amar le Rabbi Yosef, Ihachi, Hainu Ditanino. Right, this is what we have a Braisa. Save a Choshu, Kama Pruta, Bishnei Tzlaim. Right, go figure out how many Pruta there are in two Sela. It's sell as a shekel kodesh. Hey, how many Prutas are found in it? Yoter mi'alpayim. More than 2,000. That's what the Brisa says. Hashta, in our time, alpayim lo havin. They're not even 1,000, right? Not even 2,000. I mean, he's saying more than 2,000. In our time, we know there's not even 2,000. It says, well, he's calling it yoter mi'alpayim karila. And he's still calling it more than 2,000. So you see what? That it has to do with the time period. It has nothing to do with the... Right, the Pruta, definition of Pruta has nothing to do with an objective standard of what it was worth at the time of Moshe. We have to figure that out. But rather, every time period. Because if this Tana is calling a Pruta that there's more than 2,000 Prutot right, in a Sela, that means that the value of a Pruta in that Tana's time was significantly below what the value is today for our Pruta. And that would mean that it wouldn't have matched up to the value that we need to be a minimum to match up to Moshe Rabbeinu. So I'm going to ask Saba, this older person said, Ana Tanina Law, I know this Brisa, Karov Law Pine. Didn't say more than 2,000, but rather said close to 2,000. Well, it says, so, Alpha Chamesh Me'al Klatim Shita Ha'ud Avin. It's really worth 1,536. There are 1,536 putot. In a cella. Right? So Kaven, so Mar says, well, so 1,536 is very far away from 2,000. Why do you call it close to 2,000? Kaven did not go home and but Mar says, since it went over the halfway mark, 1,500 would be the halfway mark. Right? Karvla Payim Karile. They could already call it close to 2,000. That's a rounding. They just rounded the number, but not that that's the exact amount. But either way, now the Bryce is still giving an exact amount, which is that is 1,536, which would match up with the numbers that we're seeing above in terms of prutot. And the reason that is, again, an isar that we mentioned in the mission, isar is worth 24 times a dinar, right? Isar, 24, there are 24 isarim in a dinar, right? And there are 8 prutot in a dinar, because we know that's 1/8, right, of an isar italki is a pruto. So if there are 8 prutot in an isar, and there are 24 isarim in a dinar, that means a dinar is worth 190, there are 192 prutot in a dinar. Each cella has 4 dinar. So 4 times 192 would be, right, 768. 768. You can take my word for it. You can do the math later. 768. So if you have two cellas, 2 times 768 will get you to 1,536. That's how you have 1,536 prutot in a two-cella. And that will match up with being a pruta, being 1/8 of a isar. And that would match up with the Mishnah that we have here. So Mara says, all right,
cool. Why did you put two cellas?
It was a payment.
One cella, a shekel.
It was a shekel, right? They were coming up with shekel HaKodesh, which is equal to two cellas. Right, which is for... Anyway, they were matching up. It wasn't right. It wasn't random that they picked that number. Gufa, kiyater of the imam Shir Rebbe Sim Ay b'dorok ami pruta echad mishum lisar tachalki. He says 1/8 of a Italian isar. The kiyater Rabin Amar Shiro Rebbe Dustai Rebbe Yenai Rebbe Oshia kami pruta echad mishar bisar tachalki 1/6. So Mar says, Amalei Abayi the Rav Dimi. So Abayi suggested Rav Dimi, name at Rabin, but Pukta Dani Tanai come if look at do. You argue in the same machlokas as a machlokas Tanoim that we have, the Tanya, the Rav Braisa. Pruta Shamru Chachamim, Echad Mishmon Visari Talki. Right, that it's 1/8 of Visari Talki, which would match, right, with what Rav Dimi brought back. And how does that work? Because this is the calculation, this is the translation number. Shesh Ma'a Kesev Dinar. A dinar has within it 6 Ma'a. Each ma'ah is worth 2 pundion, and pundion is shnei isarim, and each pundion gets to 2 isar. So that makes it, up until that point, that makes it that it's 24 times, as we said before, that each dinar has 24, right, isarim in it, because that would be, what, 6 times 2 would get you to that point. Now, isar, shnei musmasim, right, and isar is worth 2 musmasim, mismes is worth 2 kuntrukin, and a kuntrik is worth 2 prutot. If you do that, that's 2 times 2 times 2, 2 cubed, right? It's 8, which means that each isar has 8 prutot in it. All right? So that was the math that we just did before. Nitza pruta echad mishmona bisar italki. Right? That makes a pruta 1/8 of an Italian isar, because right, if there are 8 prutot in an isar, then 1/8 of a isar is a pruta. Rav Shimon Meomer, this is a little more difficult. Rav Shimon Meomer says that there's shlosha hadrasim lima'ah. The 3 hadras in a ma'ah. Shnei hanetzim hadras, hadris. There are 2 hanetzim in a hadris. Shnei shmanim hanetz. 2 shmanim hanetz. And beis prutot l'shamin. And 2 prutot in a shamin. So if you do that, right, then you go, if you take it down from a ma'ah down to a pruta, right, then you end up with 24 times. Okay, that's it. 24 times. I'll tell you that. And if you have 6 ma'a and a dinar, that means a dinar is worth, according to this, 144 prutot.
What's the relationship between an isar and a dinar? Where's an isar? That's the thing that I
got. Right. So this mar, I'll agree with you that this mar is difficult because they skip. They don't have an isar in this gemara. And what they do is they hold that rate constant. Between a dinar and isar, they hold the rate constant as being 24 times. Okay, but that's not necessarily the case. I mean, that, who says? Because Rabbi Shimon Gamliel never gives you an Isar as a definition, so you don't know that, because he changed the definition of Dinar to Mal, maybe also changes that definition to Isar. But the Gemara assumes that there's a standard flat rate between a Dinar to an Isar is 24 times. Now, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's definition of a Dinar has in it 144 Prutot. So now, if you have 144 Prutot in a Dinar, and the standard rate between an Isar and a Dinar is 24, that gives you the, what's the definition? How many prutot are there in a isar according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? It's going to be 6, because it's going to be 144 divided by 6 is going to give you 24 times. 144 divided by 24 will give you 6. Nimsa, alright, so there's a continue here. Nimsa, pruta achat mishisha asar italkis. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it's 1/6 of an Italian isar. So lema demara market tanakama. Let's see, you Rab Dimi held at the tanakama who says it's 1/8 of an isar italki. The rabbin who says that it was 1/6, amar Rab Shimon Gamliel. He says amarly back. He says Rab Dimi says back to him. Ben didi ben rabbin alibin the kama tanakama. We both hold back the tanakama. Velo kasha. Hadi ikur isure. Hadi zol isure. It has to do with the relationship between an isar and a dinar. Hadi ikur isure. When the isar went up in value, the coin was worth more. The relationship between an isar and a dinar was 24 times. Kama Isrim Barba Bezuza was 24 times. So then, if the standard between a dinar and a pruta is 192, according to Tanakama, and according to Tanakama, there are 192 prutot in a dinar. If the relationship between an isar and a dinar is 24, then it's going to be that the isar is 1/8 of a, right? I mean, a pruta is 1/8 of an isar. Whereas had the zol, but if the value of the relationship between an isar and a dinar changes to 32, kamplat in a train, bezuza, that each isar, right, each dinar bought you 32, right, isarim. If you take 192 prutot and divide it by 32, you'll get 6. So the relationship between dinar and pruta was steady, according to him. It's 192 prutot always in a dinar. The question is, the isar actually moved in value, and that isar value that moved, right, the definition, that's what we're trying to define against. If you're defining against the standard of isar, then it will depend how isar relates to dinar. And isar to dinar will depend on that value of the isar. So it'll be the dinar will produce 32 isarim or 24 dinarim. Based on how many dinarim it proves, then it'll be either 1/6, the pruta will be 1/6 or 1/8 of such a isar. Right, so that's it. So it says, again, that they're working off the same standard. They're dealing in times, like what you're discussing, about the value of the coin changing, and they have to match the relationship between the coin of the Isari Talki and the Dinar, which was that silver standard that they knew, right, that would be a Tsurian coin that they were basing off the Torah value from. All right. Now,
there are two silver coins, and one silver coin has a fixed number of prutot, and another silver coin has a variable number of prutot.
Right.
And based on
not a variable number of prutot, it has a variable. No, the relationship between the two silver coins has changed, which will change how many prutot out of it, but not, right? I mean, it's the amount of silver in a isar is changing. That's what's changing. Right? The copper to silver relationship remains constant. The dinar to pruto has a constant relationship between silver and copper. The relationship is changing is how much silver is there in isar. I mean, what's its relationship to the dinar? Shmo, kitcha b'tamara. All right, he marries her with a tamar, with a date. Afilu ome kur tamarim b'dinar. If you buy a kur, which is an enormous amount of tamarim in a dinar, mikudesh, which means that clearly this tamara does not value, is not worth a pruto, is not worth the amount, right, to marry her with. Why? Hashin and Shemesh have a putzah with Madai. We're worried that, wait, in a place of Madai where they don't get Tamarim, the value of a date can be in excess of a putzah over there. Well, it says, Vanan Tanan, Betelo Amin, Pruta, Ubishabe Pruta. Right, that the Mishnah says that you can marry with a Pruta, or the equivalent value of a Pruta. So if that sounds like, well, that there's some sort of standard, meaning that you can't just say, you know, any, wherever it's worth in the world, Shabe Pruta. No, it sounds like Shabe Pruta is in relationship to Pruta.
What? So says, well, what's the question I understand? What's the question exactly?
Shavu Pruta should be irrelevant. According to the way we're learning now, Shavu Pruta should be irrelevant because something is always worth a Pruta somewhere. Meaning that if you, Pruta would be a standard coin, but according to the way we're learning now that you can use equivalents, money equivalents, and a money equivalent, you can always find a location in the world where something is worth more than a Pruta.
The things are worth more.
Yeah, exactly. No matter what. But in our mission, we have a category called Shavu Pruta. How can you have a category called Shavu Pruta? Because Shavu Pruta, right, it's always true. There's nothing that will not be worth the Shavu Pruta. Right? It's something, all right, but that's not because it's not Shavu Pruta, but that's because it's unavailable to Solo Kasha. This is no question. Our mission is talking about Kedushei Vadai. You want to know that she's married for certain? Then you better have a Shavu Pruta in the place that we are in now. How big kedusha is suffik? What Shmuel's talking about is, wait, we're choshesh that this kedusha has value because of this pruta somewhere else in the world. So how gaber the aktish bezabdo de ivarde or urde that he married up with a bundle of cotton? It seems like or cotton, you know, pieces. Right? Yati rasimi barchia kamei the rab. He was sitting for the rab. Kamayin boy, he was looking at it. Is bishav putin? Ilolo, so you check it out. Does it have a value of Shabbutah? Not Shabbutah. But he's like, but Shabbutah, lo. That sounds like what? If there was no Shabbutah, it wouldn't work. Rama Shmuel Chashinan. What about Shmuel's position that we worry about its value somewhere else? Lo gosh, Rabbi Kedushi Badai. Over here, he was trying to determine whether this was a full Kedushin and there's nothing to talk about. Rabbi Kedushi Sofak, you're right. If it's not worth a Shabbutah, we're going to have to worry about Shmuel and worry about that side. How Gavad Akdish Ba'abna the Kuchla got married with this black stone that looked like, it was black marble that looked blue, right? Yati Bar Chisna Vekami Sharile, that he was valuing with. Yisbe Shabbutah in Ilolo. Right? Does it have a Shabbutah? Now is he married based on the stone? So Mar says, Yisbe Be Shabbutah low. Why should, if it's less than a Shabbutah, why shouldn't he be married anyway? Ramar Shmuel Chashina. So Mar says here, Rav Chisna looks over late to Shmuel. Chisna didn't hold up the position of Shmuel. And his Tosus points out here, Rashi also a little bit, that he doesn't answer, we don't answer like we did before, that it's Kedushin Vada and Kedushin Safek, because over here we're going to see in a second that Shmuel is talking about his brother also got married here. I mean, his brother took Kedushin, and Rav Chisna says clearly that we're not Koshish for this Kedushin at all. We're not Koshish for the Kedushin, then you can't say it's Koshish for it like Shmuel.
So this is, that's not to his brother, though, I understand.
We're going to see in a second the case. And we'll say, the case is a case that she was married his brother as well with a pruta. Afterwards, she married his brother with a pruta, and then with that pruta that she married his brother was a kedushay vadai. So Rav Chisna says he doesn't have to be choshesh for the first case, because if you were choshesh for the first case, they would have gotten a get, and then it would be grushat achiv. If it's grushat achiv, he wouldn't be able to marry her because of that problem. Grushat achiv had nothing to do. So the fact that Rav Chisna allows him to marry the brother shows you that he didn't demand a get on the first case. If he didn't demand a get, then he's not holding like Shmuel. So Amalei Imei. Right, so his mother says, Yoma the Kodshabe, on the day that he got married, it was worth a pruta. I know, I'm testifying that it was worth a pruta on that day. He says, you don't have the right to answer her on the second person here, the second Kiddushin. Again, they had another marriage. And that marriage, you don't have the right now to say the first marriage was valid to invalidate the second marriage. It's not your, you know, you don't have that right. I know. How does he know that? How come we know that you don't have that right? I know the Yehudit to be to the Rabbi Chia. Right? That's like Yehudit, the wife of Rabbi Chia. She was in tremendous amount of pain from giving birth. Seems to be she had twins. She had a lot of twins. And so she says to her husband, or to Rabbi Chia, Amalei, my mother said to me, Kibo Bechavuch Kiddushe Kibikizutra. My mother told me that when I was younger, when I was a Katana, my father accepted Kiddushe on my behalf from someone else. So I'm actually married to someone else, Rabbi Chia, and we're not married anymore. Because she was done with this twins business. So Amar Lo, so he says to her, Lav Kokaminai the Imech, that's what Le'alech Alai. Your mother doesn't have the ability to answer you and me. So that's what he's saying. I have the same case over here. Why should this mother have the right to all of a sudden come along and say that it was worth a pruta on that day? What right does she have to come to change the status? So Amar Le Rabbanu Rav Chisna, Amai, what are you talking about? There's a witnesses in Edit, right? The other, the Bayoma Abashabuta. We have witnesses, Edit. The way Tosus learns over here is that it actually was Urit and not Edit, right? But, it's a place that's far away. Tosus says a place in Eretz Yisrael because they were in Babel, that Urit was in the western side and therefore was something in Eretz Yisrael. They know about this. Right, so he says, Hashka, Miu, let Nehu come on. But these witnesses aren't in front of us right now. So find the witnesses in a world, but we don't care about them. Why? Love dying with Rav Chanina. Because this is a similar case to Rav Chanina. Dar Machina, Ide Bitzad Astan, Bite Aser. We have witnesses, again, in the west, in Eretz, or here they were in, Rav Chanina was in Eretz Yisrael, and he says that they were in Bavel on the eastern side, meaning that we have witnesses in the eastern side. What's the case there? The case is the daughters of Shmuel were taken into captivity. They were brought back to the Beis Medrash. They took them out of the Beis Medrash, and they asked them, were you violated when you were in captivity? And they said no. So over there, Rav Chanina was matir them to marry to Kohanim. Why? Because the only reason we knew that they were in captivity is because they said they were in captivity. I said, the Pesha also, Pesha Ethir. They said we were not violated. Somebody said, wait, we have witnesses that they were in captivity in Babel all the way on the east side. He says, let Nehu come on. They're not here. If the witnesses aren't here, we're not going to talk about it. The only reason we know that they're Asur now is because of that. So, Bayi Barabba, Lo Sphir Lul Had Rav Chisna. Right? Rabbi and Rabbi don't hold to this position of Rav Chisna. Right? The Chachamim were mekil by Shavuya. Why? Because over there, she doesn't want to be violated by the captive. So I mean, there's a disincentive for her to be involved or violated by the captors. So therefore, we say the Chachamim were mekil over there. If she says, Beshe, we say, fine, if no other, mekil by Isha, Ishadish. Here we're going to be mako by a case of Ishadish, where we know their witnesses that it was worth the pruta, and also if she's marrying someone else, how come you're going to be mako over here? What's the disincentive for the woman, right, to marry the second guy? Right, there is no disincentive. So Mar says...
Huh? Why? Sorry, why isn't Pesach...
No, because over here, the woman, we don't know if it was with the Shavuputa, and we know they're aiding somewhere else that says it's a Shavuputa. The Chavar would make you by Shavuya because they have some sort of disincentive to say that we ignore the witnesses or we don't worry about these witnesses in other places. But, by Yeshidish, what's the reason not to, why should we discard the witnesses? What reason do you have to say that these witnesses...
What is she saying? What is the woman saying?
The woman's saying nothing. She says, I got married with this Kuchla. She doesn't say anything. And then they say, well, we have witnesses somewhere else that this was a Shavuputa on the day that she got married. Alright. There was a family in Surah that had a case like this. And the Rabbanu would not marry into such a family because they thought the kids were mamzerim. But not because they worried about Shmuel that said they're chashina and for its value somewhere else. But they hold like Rabbi and Rava because they were edim somewhere else. Right, and they held like Abai Rabba, who did not hold like Rav Chisda said. Rav Chisda said we ignore the Edim. Abai Rabba said we do worry about the Edim. And that was the problem in this family. There were Edim somewhere else about what the value was in that day. And they held like Abai Rabba, not like Shmuel says we worry about the value wherever it is in the world. No, they held like Abai Rabba, who says that if there are witnesses, we're not going to ignore the fact that there are witnesses over here. Okay, now how Gavad Akdish Bishutita the Asa Bishukah? It's okay, last day of Sukkah. Like it says, he got married with a bundle, right, a staff or stick worth of Hadassim, right, in the Shuk. Shuk Rabbaka Barun in the Kamid Rabbi Yosef, Gai Gav Namai. This type of Kiddushin that he did in the middle of the Shuk, he did it with a Hadassim. What do we do? Shuk Lay Nagde Kurav. Give him lashes like Rav. The Itzrech Gita Kishmuel. And she needs a get like Shmuel, who says that we're Choshesh, that the value of these Hadassim somewhere in the world is worth the Pruta, right? And he comes around Sukkot's time, and we're going to get Hadassim, and they're worth the Pruta maybe somewhere else. So why? So here's all the principles of Rav. The Rav mangid al makadesh b'shuka. First of all, Rav was gave lashes to someone who had kiddushin in the shuk, because that's a public place. It's pritusa. That's not the type of place that you do kiddushin. That's not a private place. So he gave lashes. Called the makadesh b'via. Anybody used via as a vehicle for creating kiddushin, he gave lashes to. The makadesh below shiduche. And someone got married without having shiduchin, without the right, without the relations, without the shadow, without being set up beforehand. They didn't just, you know, went off and did it on his own. Right? Val the Mavatal Gita. Someone was Mavatal a get, also he gave lashes to. What the case of Mavatal get is Rashi says it was a shliach that he sent to give a get, and then he's Mavatal the shliach, and the shliach went, and he was worried that the shliach was going to deliver the get anyway. Plus it says, no, it's a case like Rabbi Gamliel afterwards, where Gamliel was Mataki, and that you weren't allowed to be Mavatal a get. And the Gemara there, and the Gemara in Gita asks, if you are Mavatal it anyway, does it work? Is it effective or not? That's what it says. According to one who says, is it effective, right, do we give lashes for doing such a thing. The Masar Mada Gita, someone who brings into question the authenticity of a get, someone who casts aspersions on a get. Here it's, that's the way Rashi learned it, Tosfos, the Tosfos Ri, and others suggest that it's Moshe Voda, that he actually. He says that the get was batel, or the get that when I gave it, I was forced to give the get. I really didn't mean to give it. Val the mitzar shlucha the rabbonon.
That
could
be genuine.
It could be genuine, right?
Not just for that. Maybe twice.
No, because he should have. The cases are where he should have come up with this earlier on, and now also and later on he's just showing up to give cast aspersions on the get. He should have been till now. He didn't say anything. Also now he's starting to say things about cast aspersions on the get. Right, the mitzvah shlucha the rabbanon. Someone who bothers a shliach of the rabbanon. If this according to Rashi, someone a shliach to bring him to court. Right, that a shliach based in that they appointed him, and that he's he's giving him a hard time. Right, about the chalas shamta ilui tlatin yom. Someone who was put into excommunication for 30 days, and he doesn't request to be taken out of it. He doesn't come and apologize within the 30 days to give him lashes. The chatna d'dayer vechamor, and a son-in-law who lives in his mother-in-law's house. Because there's the Gemara has a principle that Rashi mentions over here that mother-in-laws love their son-in-laws, and therefore it's inappropriate, right, for them to be living in the same household. The Dayarin, if he lives there, it's a problem. Aleph lo, but if he visits, if it's a temporary residence, then it's okay. Those are things down here that, today we have many times where the son-in-laws live by their mother-in-laws. How could it work? So those it says, that's because it's rent-free. So we know the reason they're living there is not because they want to be near their mother-in-law because there's a relationship with the mother-in-law, but because it's, the rent is good. And since we, it's mukhla milsa, the reason they're living there is because of the rent, and we don't worry, we're not chosesh for the relationship between the mother-in-law and son-in-law. Right, there was this son-in-law that used to pass by in front of his mother-in-law's house. But not they were chasing. They were chasing, gave him lashes. So there, the Gemara says, why is he giving him lashes? He's not living there. We just said before, you have to live there to get lashes. There are already rumors circulating that there was some relationship between them because of those rumors. If he's passing in front of the house, they're going to give him lashes. In Nardai, they said that Rav didn't give lashes for any of these cases except for someone who's Mekadesh Bibia without Shiduchim. It wasn't set up, and it Bia. Even if it was set up, Mishum Pisusa. That Mekadesh Bibia gets lashes. And that's the way this Pitsutsa over here, what's the Pitsutsa? So Rabbi Yotam says the Pitsutsa over here is that you need Ede Bia or Ede Yichud. And says you need Ede Bia or Ede Yichud, it's inappropriate that you have Kiddushin Ede Bia and have people standing there and watching. That's the pizzas over here. The Re says, that's not the pizzas over here, but the pizzas over here is that they make the Tchilas Kinyon's Bia, right? And they weren't even set up, and all of a sudden he's having Bia with this woman to have Kiddushin with her. That's the pizzas over here. By the way, the Rabbi Natan says that the whole setup is not a nice setup because you're going to have to have Edim for this type of Kiddushin. How Gabra, the Kodesh Pitsifto da Aso, that he made a mat out of Hadassim, right, a mat of myrtle. Amalei, Vales Bashavi Pruto. He says it's not worth a Pruto. Amalei, Tikdosh Vabra Zuzi Dispa. Not only is the mat, but there's four Zuz wrapped up in the mat. And his money wrapped up in his mat, so be Mekadesh with the money that's wrapped in. Shakaltavishtikia. The woman took it and was silent. So Amarab Abishtikuta the Akamatan Ma'ot. It's silence after the reception of the money. If you don't say anything after you receive the money, then it's nothing. Meaning that he handed her the mat, says you are Mekadesh to me. That's not worth a puta. They asked him, that's not worth a puta. He says, well, there's money embedded in the mat. And she says nothing now. So it's her saying of nothing, me acquiesce to the far that's for Amot. For Zeus is what made it. So the Gemara says, well, no, because the silence now is not acquiescence. Why not? Because she's not receiving anything. She's not taking anything. She's not taking it, and the silence is meaningless.
Silence has to be before the reception.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So that's what the Gemara says. Amar Rav, I mean, the law, how do I know to you that silence after reception is nothing? The Tanya Amar, like, Kinsi Sela Zubi Bigadon, says, take this Sela and watch it for me. Right, because her armor, after she has the cell in her hand, and he says to her, "Kachli bo, be married to me with this cell that you're watching for me." B'shat matamatol b'gedeshin. If at the time he's giving her the cell, he changes his mind and says, "Do it for gedushin," then it's what mikudeshin. It works. B'achar maton maot. Right after the money's given, ratzta mikudeshin. If she says, "I'm accepting this as kesher gedushin," then it works. Lo ratzta any mikudeshin. If she doesn't want it, then it's not mikudeshin. My ratzta, my lo ratzta. What does it mean? She accepted or didn't accept it? Ilay ratzta damra in. If ratzta means she said yes. Lo ratz amar lo. They said no. Bichlal the reisha implies that the first case was ki amar lo nami having kedushin. If she says no, it still works as kedushin. How could that be? Am I va'k amar lo? If she says no, it's not kedushin. So what is it? El alav ratz to damrein. If she wants it, if she says yes, then it works. Lo ratz to deistika mistako. She was silent, and when she's silent, right? That when she's silent, if it was done at the time of the maton mos, then her acceptance of the coin is an acquiescence. It means the kabbal. Her silence after she has the coin in her possession already does not mean anything because she accepted the coin as a pikado. Now her silence, not really an acquiescence, I'm watching the coin. I have nothing to do with my kedushin. So that's it. Sukkah after kedushin is not worth anything.